Hello there, friends. It's McCall, and another episode of Unboxing God, number 3. Today, we're going to talk about 3 words that have a lot of connotation for a lot of us. Prayer, praise, and worship. According to Wikipedia, prayer is an invocation or act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship through deliberate communication. In the narrow sense, the term refers to an act of supplication or intercession directed towards a deity, God, or a deified ancestor. More generally, prayer can also have the purpose of thanksgiving or praise, and in comparative religion, is closely associated with more abstract forms of meditation and with charms or spells. Prayer can take a variety of form. It can be part of a set liturgy or ritual, and it can be performed alone or in groups. Prayer may take the form of a hymn, incantation, formal creedal statement, or a spontaneous utterance in the praying person. The act of prayer is attested in written sources as early as 5,000 years ago. Today, most major religions involve prayer in one way or another. Some ritualize the act, requiring a strict sequence of actions or placing a restriction on who is permitted to pray, while others teach that prayer may be practiced spontaneously by anyone at any time. That's the prayer I want to talk about today.
Hi, I'm Michaela. I'm from Los Angeles. I don't think I realized it until recently, but as I've thought back through my life, I realized that the times that I start to feel myself getting out of touch or like losing sight of what's important, I always remind myself, you haven't gone out into nature and you haven't felt that sort of wonder that is possible to feel in a long time. And so when I need to connect with God or that higher power, I go alone into nature and I don't have my phone, I'm not listening to anything or talking to anyone, and I'm just sort of looking around and walking and sitting in the wonder that is this insanely beautiful world that no human had any part in creating. And that's, I guess, how I get in touch with my God.
Hi, this is Johanna from St. Petersburg, Florida. Every morning, I drop into meditation. I find if I wait for the rest of the day, it's never going to happen. And then the next thing before I do anything is I do a gratitude list. I've got a few gratitude buddies that I'll send out 3 things that I'm grateful for. And our rules are that they need to be different every day. And I've learned that I can't be grateful for things in the future because they usually then will never happen. So I have to be grateful for things that are either in the present moment or I can be grateful for something that happened yesterday. I've never thought about this as praise, but I think that's exactly what it is.
Personally, I love the idea of prayer as an act of thanksgiving. Because in my program of recovery, gratitude is such an integral piece. And my understanding of gratitude is both acknowledgement of what I'm grateful for, kind of an awareness of what is good, as well as the act of thanksgiving, of praise for what is good. So awareness plus action for me is how I practice gratitude.
Hi, this is Ryan in Wellington, New Zealand. I never really thought about worship and praise of God in relation to the Al-Anon program. It reminds me of having gone to Church of England school and, you know, singing hymns and things at school mainly. But I guess I praise my higher power or God in the form of thanks. I've heard it said that thank you is the shortest prayer. And by thanking and acknowledging God for the good things that I have and even for the difficult and challenging things that I have, there are opportunities to learn. To me, that's a form of worship. Thanks for your podcast.
Hi, McCall. I've come to think of praise and worship of the God of my understanding as something that's no different to expressing deep gratitude. I find that the more gratitude I'm willing to express, even for the smallest, tiniest of things, the more connected and grounded I feel in the present moment. It's hard to feel fearful and grateful at the same time, you know. I know which state I prefer. A grateful state provides me with peace, and when I'm peaceful, answers come, and my problems suddenly, instead, are opportunities for yet more growth. I get this wrong often, but I can choose at any moment to be brought right back to a grateful state if I only ask and show a willingness to do so.
Hi there, my name is Janine from Los Angeles, California. Worship and praising the God of my understanding is a practical approach that I take daily in the form of a deep prayer where I call on all of my guides to help me live out my highest good, to help me be the best version of myself, to be the best mother, to live out my creative purpose so that I can be of service to others. And sometimes it's just merely asking for help.
I want to share with you one of the first prayers in the book, Change Me Prayers, The Hidden Power of Spiritual Surrender by Tasha Silver. It's called Divine Guidance. Divine Beloved, may I feel safe and guided by your love. Take over my body and mind. Show me the way. Guide me always to the right actions at the right time. May I always feel immersed in your love, protected from fear and negativity. Divine Beloved, let me only wish what you wish for me. May I see myself as you see me. Let me know my own divinity in every moment. May I know I am you, and may our desires be one. May the highest that is meant to happen, happen in me and through me. May I be a vehicle for all you wish to occur. Change me into one who can breathe, relax, and rest in your arms.
Hi, I'm Cass in Florida. I've heard that worship is to give worth to something. And in the past few months, I feel like I've given a lot more worth to my higher power by being honest. Really honest with myself, really honest with him. Radically honest. Like, I really hate everything and I wish that this wasn't happening to me and I hope that a person that I'm really frustrated with gets erectile dysfunction. Level of honest. But in not hiding from my higher power, it feels like I'm actually communicating like, hey, this is worth honesty. This is worth transparency. And I found a lot more intimacy in that honesty than I ever have before.
When you hear the phrase praise music, what do you think of? Organ pipes in a cathedral? Acoustic guitar and hands held aloft to the heavens? The Muslim call to prayer? The shofar? Well, how about Bob Marley? My husband used Bob Marley's music as praise during a period of his life when he struggled with his faith. It's how he was able to connect with God during that time. I use the music of Ben Harper to praise God similarly, and that is why we have two children named Marley and Harper. Listening to music affects plants. Of course it affects us. Scientists have found that music stimulates more parts of the brain than any other human function. Music heals us. It helps ease our pain and our hurts. Ancient Greek philosophers believed music served a therapeutic purpose. Today, science gives us evidence that that is true. You may have heard of the Mozart effect. One scientific study found that Mozart's piano sonata in D major decreased epilepsy activity in patients even in a comatose state. Music therapy has now become a well-known practice in helping not only make us feel good, but also in the treatment of all sorts of different disorders, such as Parkinson's disease, memory loss, traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder. Music heals us, but it also changes our mood. One of the ways music affects mood is by stimulating the formation of certain brain chemicals. Listening to music increases this neurotransmitter called dopamine. Dopamine is the brain's motivation molecule and an integral part of the pleasure-reward system. Since 2006, two University of Central Florida professors, neuroscientists Kiminobu Sugaya and world-renowned violinist Ayako Yonatani, have been teaching one of the most popular courses in the Burnett Honors College. According to the university's website, their class, Music and the Brain, explores how music impacts brain function and human behavior, including by reducing stress, pain, and symptoms of depression, as well as improving cognitive and motor skills, spatial temporal learning, neurogenesis even, which is the brain's ability to produce neurons. Sugaya and Yonatani teach how people with neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's also respond positively to music. Sugaya explains, memories associated with music are emotional memories, which never fade, even in Alzheimer's patients. As Plato said, music is an art imbued with the power to penetrate into the very depths of the soul. I want to share three ideas with you that will hopefully help you unbox God through music. Number one, music connects us to God. Number two, lyrics our prayer. And number three, harmony is worship. Let's break that down, shall we? Number one, music connects us to God. Well, for me, music brings me into my God headspace. I have this Step 2 playlist full of songs. I call it Waldo Worship. And it reminds me of all these ways my higher power has comforted me and encouraged me through my entire life, starting from childhood, from soothing lullabies, all the way to last night, me falling asleep to Miles Davis. Music has the power to shift my mind and imagination to another time and space entirely. I can listen to a specific song or hear a lyric and be transported to a memory that reminds me I'm not alone. Or even as Gloria Gaynor regularly reassures me, I will survive. It cuts through surface feelings and connects me to my deeper emotions. Music can reach hidden parts of us that might have otherwise been left untapped. It presses its beat into me, and the rhythm pulls something out of me, most oftentimes in the form of a ridiculous dance, sometimes in the middle of the Target aisles, much to my daughter's dismay and chagrin. My next point is that lyrics are prayer. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a familiar quote by St. Augustine, "He who sings prays twice." The Old Testament Book of Psalms is a collection of writings, mostly attributed to King David. And while many of those psalms are repeated today as prayers, most were originally introduced to be lyrics. Lest we forget, David was a musician, and apparently a very skilled harpist. In fact, some scholars say that King Saul was schizophrenic, and when he was plagued with the demons in his brain, he called on David to play the harp and soothe his soul. Music on its own is powerful stuff. Combine words and voice and add it to the music, and blammo, it's something else altogether. I mean, think about the words of Let It Be, or Isn't She Lovely? How about Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah? You're gonna tell me those songs aren't prayers? When I sing out from my soul to the universe and connect with anyone who's listening, even if it's only Waldo in the walls of my shower. Which brings me to my final point, other people and song. Harmony is worship. Bear with me. When voices raise together in harmony, the whole is so much more powerful than an individual part. When skilled singers or musicians harmonize, vibing off of each other, weaving in and out of the melody like some intricate dance, there's a union of the instrument of the voice and notes that instruments create, and it makes an entirely unique sound for me, unachievable without each part present playing their role. Experience bonds us together. When we share our time and presence with others, we grow closer. In this way, singing is communion with God and others when we sing together. Have you ever felt that? Maybe in a church, but what about at a concert? Have you ever sung at the top of your lungs with thousands of other people while seeing your favorite musician live? The harmony of all those voices together, to me, that is an act of worship. It brings all of those people together. It creates belonging. If you've ever struggled to expand your idea of what praise music is, I really hope you can see how much more it means to me than just the songs that many sing on Sunday morning. Praise, at its simplest, most basic form, is just considering the greatness of your higher power. Any song, lyric, or piece of music that helps you focus on how great the divine universe God is, well, that, my dear friend, is praise music.
Hi, I'm Kristen C. from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I'd like to share two of my favorite prayers with you. The first one is a Sanskrit proverb. Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lies all the realities and verities of existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of power. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. And the second one was shared with me by the host of this very program, and it's only two words. Surprise me.
Talking to God or the divine has nothing to do with religion. It doesn't even have to be tethered to any particular belief. Praying doesn't have to mean bowing down over a Bible or kneeling in front of some altar. It can just be talking to God in your head or out loud, anytime, any place. If you don't subscribe to the idea of God, consider praying to and honoring the divinity that lies within you, that spark that gives you life, that little kernel that makes you, you. Tap into that, speak to that, or just speak your heart into the universe. I'm a believer that you can speak your dreams out into the world and make them a reality. By giving voice to your innermost thoughts, you're giving them permission to exist in the corporeal world. It makes them more real. It gives them life. But prayer is not about talking to God. It's about changing your heart. It's not about God. It's about you. Praying is kind of like talking to a therapist. It brings us comfort. And therapy is not for the benefit of the therapists. It's for us. It's about us. God already knows everything in my heart. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. I don't need to tell him anything. He already knows. So prayer isn't for God. It's for me. I pray because it changes me. It changes my heart. It's about practicing love, practicing gratitude, putting good things out into the universe. Send love out to your enemies. Send love to the people who wronged you. It'll help you let go of your anger. It will change your attitude. Well, I think that brings us to the end of yet another episode of Unboxing God. We will be back next week. But in the meantime, please check out Unboxing God on Facebook. Maybe even call in and leave a message with your opinions, your ideas, your thoughts about God. Unboxing God. Written, directed, and produced by yours truly, McCall, and my husband, Kyle Lawrence. With thanks to Meredith and Amanda for all their help.